Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Insane in the Membrane. It's that time again. It's Thursday. This is coming out on Thursday. And I hope you're all well. Tonight, I'll be in Sheffield, actually. I'm in Sheffield doing a gig. Did a gig last night, which was fantastic. Do another one tonight. So do come along. I can't remember where it is, but I'll put a thing up online. So if you're around, you want to come down, come and have a laugh. It's good to be out doing it again, because there was a time there when we thought it was never going to happen, but comedy, do you know what? Comedy will never go away. It just changes shape, everybody needs to laugh. It's still going to be around. The circuit, as we knew it, probably isn't going to be as it was. We've got to rebuild and all that sort of thing, but, you know, we'll muck in. We'll get it done. I hope you lot are doing all right out there. Everything's fine with you. I keep seeing people still bloody stockpiling the toilet rolls again. You know, leave them alone. Other people need a shit. But I hope you're doing okay. Everything's going to be fine. My guest this week is a guy called Darren Garwood. Now, I was aware of Darren Garwood through the Hardcore Listings guys, Stu Whiff and Chris Glasson. Big shout out to you lads. And Darren, his son, his young son, was diagnosed with Krabbe disease, which is a terminal illness, which is something that no parent should ever have to go through. It's, you know, as a parent myself, I think about something happening to my boys, and I don't even want to think about it. And I'm sure parents listening to this, you'll understand what I'm saying when I say that. So Darren has had to deal with this heartbreaking thing. But what's come out of this wonderful thing with Darren and his wonderful wife Rebecca is that they've started writing children's books where Jackson it's called Jackson Superhero, and these have become a great success. I won't say too much now because Darren explains it in the episode. So even though something so tragic and something that I said like no parent should ever go through, something beautiful has come out of it, and it's a really wonderful thing. And so it was really good to get Darren on and have a chat about it. So coming up in a minute is Darren Garwood.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
How you doing, Rich? You all right?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I'm actually living the dream at the moment. My wife's gone away for a few days, so I'm just left with Jackson.
Mate.
And I've literally, if lucky it ain't video, because I've not cleaned my teeth or done my hair in 3 days.
This is what happens when men are left to their own devices. We just go back to in the woods.
It's like my mum's gone away. So I've just literally gone mad. I've tied it up to my missus is a mess, but she's a complete, you know, she's an animal when she gets in. It's like a bomb. But other than that, it's been really cool. Me and Jackson's been chilling, having a boys' night, boys' day in.
Oh, you know? Lovely. Yeah, that's lovely. Good. That's lovely. So you say your missus is untidy?
Apps monster. Honestly, my mum always said to me, I pity the girl that gets with you when I was a kid because I was really messy. And then I got to, like, obviously we moved in together, me and my wife, before we were married, obviously. Even things like, I remember, I got an ice cream once, she went, oh, I don't like that, and put it on the floor. Like, you know, it's going to melt. Like, how old are you? She's that messy. It's terrible. Like, if I say I'm going to over the floor around the kitchen, just sweep the stuff off the sides so she don't have to clean the sides because it all falls on the floor so I can Uber it up. She's really... It's that student.
Jade is... she calls it being creative. She just... because she's so brilliant in this... In her professional life, she's like... I think that's it with people that... Some artists are just... I think maybe that's it. Maybe your wife's an artist, mate. She's just got this other side of her going on.
Because
Jay's like, she says, I ain't got time to worry about the fucking wardrobes. I've got this to do and that to do. And I'm like, yeah, but you can put your shoes away.
I know where that comes from. Her mum and dad are were both chefs.
Right.
And when they cook, obviously, they had people clean up behind them all the time. Yes. They've never done the tidying up. And that's where it comes from. I can clean the kitchen down. She'll go, do you want dinner? I go, yeah, well, that's nice. And then I'll come back and I go, what the... It's gone on here. Like, it's a state. But it's not just any state. It's an explosion.
I've said that very thing to the point it got to... And listen, anyone listening to this, we're not just slagging off our wives and girlfriends. It's not that. We're just venting. I imagine if they were to do a podcast together, they'd be talking about the shit that we do.
These are just things that come out, aren't they? I mean, yes. The good things are we never shout about. That's the problem. That's what we don't... I mean... I could have mega after everything we've been through with Jackson. I'm sure we'll talk about and stuff. But you know, the one thing that keeps me together is when before me and Becca, you know, we don't just start seeing each other, and we're living in Wickford. Actually, we just moved in. We just moved to Wickford at the time.
Yeah.
And we'd gone down the high street, and there was a sign that said you can park here, but no return within 2 hours. So we went and done some shopping, and it was only about an hour and a half. And I went, come on, let's go back to the car and go. She went, we can't. I said, why not? The sign said no return in 2 hours. I was like, you're joking.
Oh, she thought you're not allowed to go back to your
car. You're not allowed to go back to your car within 2 hours.
You're not allowed. I mean, oh, bless.
That's what keeps me going. That comment she made, I can't, you know, she's beautiful.
Oh, that's lovely. There's other things, like, I know. Like when you said explosion in the kitchen, that's like Jade, and then because Jade uses cooking to relax, and she'll make these incredible, wonderful meals. But like you say, she's you know, she's used to having someone running around behind her with a mop, and so I got to the point, and she's like, oh, should I make dinner? I'm like, no, I don't want you to
make I'll get Nando's.
I'm going to be washing up for 3 weeks afterwards. I can't handle it.
I know what you mean.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so I was looking into... Because I didn't know... I sort of knew your story through Stu Whiffen and the other guys.
Yeah.
And so... There's things in there that I'd never heard of before, like, you know, that... Firstly, this story struck me. It just made me feel so. You know, it's when you're. I can't imagine for the life of me what you must be going through with Jackson being as ill as he is. You know, I've got sons, and just the thought of anything happening to them just breaks my heart. And I don't even know. I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to begin to talk to you about it. I don't know. You know, let's start at the beginning. So Jackson was diagnosed with, how do you pronounce it? Is it Krabbe.
Krabbe.
Right.
Yeah,
so Krabbe, you tell the story. Yeah. You tell the story.
Yeah. Going back, sorry, just to talk, it's quite embarrassing when the local paper, I live in East Tilbury, so the local paper down in the Thorough Gazette, boss, one of them printed a child with crabs terminally ill, and you think, oh, for fuck's sake, no, it's not that. It's not crabs. There's a lot of people with crabs in Tilbury, but it's not crabs. Yeah, this is, and you know, I'm only just getting my sense of humour back. That's the good thing, you know, like after all these years, I can, you know, I was always, and if you know Stuart knows us quite well, he knows my brother quite well, and you know, I was always quite a jokey person, but it got kicked out of me. I mean, I've not listened to music in years because I'm only just starting to again because of everything that's happened.
Yeah.
I feel guilty being happy, you know. And
I understand. Yeah, I get it, man.
It's difficult. But yeah, with Jackson, it started off, you know, 1 year old, coming up with his first birthday. We were is our first child, happily, you know, new married couple, everything going really well. He was sitting there up, he was saying, "Mum, Dad." He was starting to pull himself up, starting to walk. And he was sitting in his high chair one day, literally in the morning, and he couldn't move his arms. Just stopped moving his arms.
Bloody hell.
What's going on here? So, you know, he's still talking, he's still happy. He just can't move his arms to pick his Cheerios up. And he was and he was bending down using his mouth to pick up the food. And I thought, well, in my head, you know, as a first-time parent, you see all these programs, and I thought, what is it, a tumour in the back of his spinal cord or something? No, the worst thing I thought of. And, you know, you will think of the worst things when you get put in that situation, you know. And we took him to the hospital. And I remember a nurse said there went, she sort of knew there was something wrong. We got transferred to Great Ormond Street and was there and they done some tests. And basically it was the third case in 25 years in Great Ormond Street from the head of neurology with this for Jackson to have this disease. And they gave us his life expectancy for two. One, they gave him a year to live.
Wow.
Because basically, I still don't understand it, and the doctor said to me, if I did, I would be in a different job. Do you know, it's vanishing white matter of the brain. So we've got white and grey matter of the brain, and it's to do with the nerve signals are being lost because there's this protective sheath around the nerves, apparently.
Okay.
And it's genetic, yeah. Mm. So it's might me and my wife both carry this gene. We're both carriers. We didn't obviously know.
No.
And it's 100,000 chance to one that you will meet the same person with that same gene. You've got messed up genes as well, but for you to meet that same person is well out there. You know, you're never gonna. It's like me walking around Wembley and trying to find the only person with a pound in their pocket. You know, I always go into this because now I'm learning to sort of not cope and just understand what's going on, really. And so the day Jackson was diagnosed, not many people know this, but my wife was pregnant at the time.
Right.
So I walk into the hospital the day before, if you think of life, the day before I had a boy who was healthy coming up to one. My wife is pregnant. We think, well, this is our family. We're complete, you know.
Mm.
Next day, we're in Great Ormond Street. They said, it's a genetic condition. Your son's only going to live till one, and you've got to get that baby tested in your belly.
Oh, wow.
And you think, fuck. And then we had the baby. So we've been told, a week later, we get told that Jackson's terminally ill. They've done all the tests, blah, blah. And then we have to get his baby checked as well, and that baby had the same condition, so we had to get rid of that baby. So that... You know, within the world, no one knows. I haven't really gone into that before, you know, and so that was that.
That must have been. How'd you get your head around that?
When Jackson was we've told the news, I assumed there'll be a cure. You know, I said, I don't care what you can do, just give him something, you know. And I remember veering, and I, you know, I nearly passed out. I think I pretty much did. I puked, you know, and you know, it was just news that I couldn't cope with at the time. Whatever, I was early 30s, you know, and and I just couldn't cope with it. And then when we were told about this, and we're thinking, God, please, this baby be okay. Not that it replaced Jackson, but just gives a little bit of hope in life, you know.
Yeah,
and we had
to
wait a while for the tests, and we got the tests, and it was obviously bad news. So my wife had to go and have the baby removed.
Oh, mate.
So it was, the NHS wouldn't do it because the baby was too far along, so we had to go and find someone, you know, a charity that would do it for us.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and then that's Jackson. Really, that was the early days. Until one, he was fine. And then from then onwards, it's been absolutely manic. I don't think I've switched off for 5 years. It's six now.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. It's six.
It just goes to show how strong he is and how supportive you must be. I think there's a lot to be said for that positive energy, like lifting each other up, and that must be doing something somewhere.
It started off. My wife's really into being. Her parents both chefs. They're very into their food, and we looked into the food side of things and thought, actually, look, if we're going to put stuff into him, he's already very weak. Let's put the best stuff into him.
Yeah.
And we moved a lot. I've done a lot of research over the years, and I don't want to go into sort of conspiracies or research. But there's a lot of scary stuff out there. Do you know
what to do with food? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I read one study that if you drink a glass of milk a day, you're 25% more likely to get cancer. An actual study I read. You can imagine. I haven't just read stuff on the internet. I've read studies because of. And it's to do with the way that they mass produce the milk these days. There's no calcium in it because we trick the cows in pretending they're still pregnant, but we pump them full of estrogen. So, but you can go on with, you can go into every food and think, what the hell, if I give my kid processed food, it's in the same category as plutonium, do you know, by the World Health Organization, you know.
Oh,
and you
mate.
Think, it's like putting a fag in my kid's mouth and lighting it.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's funny.
Go on.
No, go on.
No, I'll just say, it's funny you mention that because there was a thing in. I saw a report today about Subway in Ireland, and they've been told that they can't classify the bread as bread because there's so much sugar in it. It's a confection. They used to have stuff in it that they use for carpet underlay.
Do you know what I was about to say? The same McDonald's were accused of having the same substance in that you would have in a rubber mat at a playground for kids.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
In their buns, and they said their response was, "Yeah, but you put salt on the roads, don't you?" we actually eat salt and we put it on the roads. We don't put sponge,
You don't eat roads. Crazy. You don't eat the roads.
No, exactly. But so we've looked into that with Jackson, and we've gone. It sounds lucky. Crabbe disease isn't very. It's very rare, so there's not many people around the world with it. So we're in a network of people around the world, and we got talking to this couple in Canada.
Yeah,
and they They get a different health system we've tried so many different therapies with them. We've actually got a hyperbaric chamber in our house, so we give them hyperbaric therapy every other day, which is breathing oxygen under pressure.
Okay.
Blood cells into the system, and it can rejuvenate nerves, and it's helps the body repair itself. And I'm not saying it's not a cure, but the quality of life for Jackson is much better from this. You know, we can see that.
Yeah.
So he's laying next to me, I'm looking after him at the moment. So his mum's away. But I could say that the first, say he was diagnosed in September in 2015, the first 6 months, I was horrible, miserable, hated life, wanted to kill people, wanted to kill myself, wanted to kill everyone. I remember driving down the road and some bloke looking at me. And it's unlike me, I'm not tough, but I don't get a kick out of having fights or, anything. I'm not that sort of person. And I remember trying to kill a bus driver because he pulled out in front of me and my wife crying and, and thinking back now and thinking what we was all going through and what we were doing.
Yeah.
And, and that weren't me. And that's the one person that saved me, and I don't even know who that person was a person that, and it wasn't the money side of things, but my sister-in-law set up a Just Giving account from Jackson, so we could do a lot of stuff with him in that year. Obviously, I was off work, I went mad,
understandably.
In my head. And this bloke messaged me and he said, I put £1,000 in your son's Just Giving account. You don't know me, I don't know you, but I'm someone that cares. And I was like, fuck,
was that
the bloke I swore at the other day? Was that the bloke I tried to kill the other day? Was that the bloke I've fucking, and I can only compare it to Afterlife, like Ricky Gervais, where he's miserable and he's walking around and wants to hate everyone. That was me. And then I thought, Jesus, just because that idiot nearly drove into me the other day and I fucking nearly killed him because I was miserable, it doesn't make him a bad person. It's just shit at driving. It doesn't, you know, that's how I look at things now. You know, it's just because he can't do something, it don't make you shit. It don't make you horrible.
But then the other side of it, he might be going through some stuff as well and he's not concentrating. And that's the thing, you don't know other people's lives, do you?
Exactly. And this is, this is what I've learned over the last few years is, and it don't help me, is that say that I think my life's shit. Because what I've just told you about, you know, coming up to Jackson and losing that child. Our daughter was due in December, and she died a day before she was due to be born. So, you know, this is just fucking one thing after another. But if all I can say is you get one go, and you can give it your best shot. I mean, for my kids, I would easily swap my life with my son now. Like, if someone said, I'm 39, he can have 39 years and be healthy, I'd swap it instantly. Instantly,
mate.
Right now. But I can't do that, so I've got to be here.
You've got to do what you can.
Do what I can for him.
Is he aware? Is he aware that you're talking about him? Is that...
He knows his name's been mentioned. That's why I named... Obviously, we're getting to the books, but that's why I named the books Jackson Super Oak. He loves his name being mentioned. His eyesight's not great, but his hearing's pretty good.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't like talking about that stuff around him.
No, of course not.
But he can't really communicate with us apart from a big smile. But as long as I'm near him, we don't... Obviously, his brain's deteriorating, so he's not in a good state, in a good way. But he still knows when he's getting a cuddle, he still knows when he's on my lap, he still knows when I say my stupid stories and silly stories and make up silly stuff for him. Because I'm just an idiot, really. This is I'm an idiot that's... Like when I don't know if you see, was on the BBC a few weeks ago on the news for Jackson's sixth birthday and talked about the books behind Jackson and everything. And my wife says, I've never ever thought Dale would get two books published and the third one on the way. Well, nor would I. You know, I'm not that sort. I didn't even pass English at school. I can barely speak English, but I can, you know, this is...
You found something in you. You've dug deep and...
Silliness. Absolute silliness. And just put it into words. And lucky enough, my sister-in-law is the head of English at a senior school, so I can get her to sort out the English to make sure it's all good.
Yeah.
And but kids love them at the moment, and it seems to be that these books have really, really took off.
Yeah.
Really, and there's nothing out there for children with issues, or even without issues, just children that don't want to go to bed.
But it's we are now starting to do, you're sort of a pioneer in this respect where, you know, up until, when I was a kid, you didn't have any books about, you know, disabilities and everybody was, everybody was the same and no one really spoke about it. I remember there was one children's book I had, I can't remember what it was called, and it was a mum, that's how unusual it was for back then, it was a mum and a kid, and the kid needed more space, funnily enough, because he was so untidy. He needed more space in his bedroom. So his mum, he said to his mum, he goes, I want to live where the spider lives in the lampshade in the middle of his room, up in the ceiling. So his mum put his bed up on stilts. And I'm reading this book. I remember as a kid, it wasn't until later on I went, there was no dad in that book. There was no dad. It was all mum. Yeah. And that's the first time that I was like, oh, yeah, that's unusual. So these books now are teaching people all manner of stuff. Like, there are people with disabilities and illnesses, but that doesn't mean that doesn't mean they don't have a life.
No, this is the reason why I come up with it as well, was that every book, like, my wife loves her books. Last book I read before I met my wife was Spot the Dog. You know, and my wife's got all these books for our kids, and obviously we've been reading them for Jackson. And then as Jackson got on and he started to get a little bit worse, I realised that Jackson's never going to do any of this stuff in the book, like his kids playing football. So I just come up with a little silly story about Jackson becomes superhero when he dreams, when he's at night. And now I've just sort of gone on from that. And he leads his life when he sleeps.
He can be
whatever he wants to be.
It's such a beautiful idea. Genuinely, when I read it, I was reading up on it, I'm like, wow. Because like you say, you can be anything in your dreams. And of course, Jackson, why not? Jackson Superhero is so beautiful, man. It's really, and I guess that helps you cope as well, that, he's got this whole other life going on when he's asleep. That's a beautiful thing.
It's a massive distraction. It's, yeah. And funny, I think it was Stuart that said it's a creative release.
Yeah.
That's what he... That's, and it is. You know, every story I write might not be any good, but if I can get Jackson smiling from it, it's beautiful for me to see. And that is one of the main reasons why I do it. And the second... You know, and I've got some really good reviews. I'm not blowing my own trumpet. I never even thought I would get a review off me mum, let alone like Russell Brand and what's his so Claire Friedman, the author of Alien Loves Underpants, West End Show, and you know, and there's some real decent people that books that I read the Jackson book. This is a cracking book. They've actually liked my stuff. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, how'd this happen?
No, oh, man. But it's a nice legacy. Thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful it's thing. Yeah.
It's what I want to leave for my daughter. Like, she's three now, my daughter. I named her Serim because it's Welsh for star, and it's Jackson's favourite song, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. So, I want her to know, like, she feeds Jackson through the tube. For a 3-year-old, you know, she thinks it's normal. Mm, you know, we just got to let her crack on with that, you know.
Does she ask questions? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't Jackson walk? And I go, oh, that's another story. I can't start saying it's banishing white matter of the brain and stuff because she'll just never understand. Mm. You know. So I just thought, you know, Jackson's quite ill. Oh, why? You know what kids are like.
Yeah.
You start going. But it's, you know, we might have another child, we might not, you know, depending on how things go. But my daughter's always going to know Jackson. I want her to forever see Jackson in the shops, in the, you know, and the amazing thing is we're in WH Smith's, we're in Waterstones, you know, we're in.
Wow.
Yeah, we've done, you know, I'm so chuffed. I'm actually sort of blown away of how well it's done.
No, oh, it's fantastic, man. It is fantastic. I think that's the one thing that people really worry about is being forgotten. I know that. I'm not going to speak for her. This is nothing that she's not already said, but I know Jade, my partner, lost her sister sort of 7 years ago, and you know she'll never get over it. It's it's one of those things. But the one thing that her sister said before she passed on was like, she goes, don't forget me, and you know that's, and I think that's what people worry about, and I think this is such a beautiful way to immortalize Jackson. And it's also helping other kids with disabilities and illnesses show that they're not, you know, they're people too. They're human beings. They're important. They're just as important as everybody else. It's such 100%. A great idea.
And you know, like you say, they're human beings. They should be remembered. They should be. Yeah. You know, they're part of our lives. They're just something. Shit's happened. I just happened to get a life, which I always say, I always said from day when I was a teenager, I want to experience absolutely everything. I think whoever's picking out the experiences just gave me the shit ones, but I'm experiencing them, you know, but yeah. I'm getting through it, and it's, you know, it's bloody hard, you know, you're never going to get through it. I'm a changed person now, but I want to be happy. I want to go through it.
Yeah.
But funny enough, you say about your wife, Jade, I only see today the video that she done about dealing with grief.
And what
a brilliant video, and you know, so many bits on that I can relate to. You know, when people, oh, is there anything I can do, do you know, coming up to you.
No,
I walked into my local pub, and after obviously a few months after Jackson was diagnosed, I just fancied getting out and not, you know, I walked in there and said, oh, hello mate, do you want a beer, no, I haven't won the lottery, please don't.
Yeah.
I know you mean well. Anything I can do, yeah, find a fucking cure. That's what I want. You know, and people do mean well. People still don't know how to react. And if someone close to me has a shit time going on, I still don't know how to react, you know, even though I'm going through a shit time constantly.
Yeah.
it is a great way to keep acting going. It is.
Oh, it's brilliant, mate. It must be, like you say, like we just talked about just now, you don't know other people's lives. Everyone's got something going on. Of course, you know, yours is an awful situation. It's something that a parent should never have to go through. And it must be difficult sometimes when, like you say, someone else has got something else going on. They're like, mate, I'm struggling a bit. And you're like, I don't give a fuck. My little boy's disappearing in front of my eyes. See, it's exactly. Hard, isn't it? I can't imagine the mental strength that you must have to dig deep to find every day.
I have to go to work. I have to go to a normal job, and my job is a clerk of works, which is an old-fashioned job, which is basically making sure people do work to what they've designed it to.
Mm.
So, and I go up there and go, oh, that's shit. You know, like, and I'll try and be nice about it.
Yeah.
But like, and then we start arguing about stuff, and I think it's a fucking curb, just change it. You know, like when you look at, you know, with what's going on in life,
yeah,
in general, and we're arguing about this, come on.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, it is, but there's always someone worse. Not that it helps me, but my life could be so much worse. Jackson could be not here, and that would be terrible for me. Although I do sometimes think, and this ain't me being selfish, I think it's pretty much the other way around, that sometimes quality of life ain't great, and sometimes you'd be better off not here, but then I don't want him to go. So it's a really...
It's a tricky one, and you say for your sake. It's like I've spoken to people about this before in care work that I've done. You know, they don't. You know, this person isn't there anymore. It's just the body's there, but they've gone, and the machine is keeping them alive. And it's like, and they're just like, well, if I switch it off, they're going to be completely gone. And you're like, but I can't. It's easy for me to say what the best thing is in that situation. You know, they're not here anymore. It'd be best for everybody if you just do that. You know,
the crazy thing is, he is here though.
Exactly.
Just that his muscles won't allow him to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So, like, when he's drifting off to sleep, I can get some wicked smiles out of him. You know, like doing silly books and just saying silly words and stuff. But you know, even this condition, going back to Crohn's disease, I gave him a bottle one day, and the next day he couldn't swallow it. It was instant, and then it just shows you that life can change.
Yeah,
we was walking. We was my daughter out, and we walked around the fort, and he ended up, you know, one minute he's sitting quite nicely, and next minute we're in Great Ormond Street with tubes down his neck, and he can't breathe for himself. So it's because of this little infection that he's picked up on the way. It's so quick because he can't tell you. Many a times they say that 80% oxygen is, or anything under 92 is dangerous for an adult. And we took Jackson to the hospital once, he was on 76%.
Wow.
I just smiled then when I mentioned his name. I was like, no, it's tough.
But that's the thing. The thing that keeps you going is the fact that he's still there. Even if he can't tell you, he can show you enough that he's there.
Oh.
Which is beautiful. Yeah. That's so lovely. How's your missus, Rebecca, coping with it all? She must go, up and down.
Strong. She's hard. She's the backbone to this relationship. If it was me, and I think I mentioned it plenty of times before, the day that Jackson diagnosed, I wanted to kill myself.
Mm.
Didn't want to kill myself. I didn't want to be awake.
You want the pain to stop.
I wanted to stop sleep. I actually remember I wanted to stuff. I said to myself, I want to sleep for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I just don't want to wake up. I want to see if I can get through this from sleep. And I can see why people do silly stuff, do you know?
Mm.
And I remember saying to Becca that I don't want to be here. I always thought that life was about having a child and making that child a better person than you.
Yes.
And if I could do that, then I'm doing all right in life. And obviously I can't do that with Jackson. And that's when my life's come crashing down. I wanted to make Jackson a good person or help him become a good person. And I told Becca, I didn't want to be here. I mean, even to this day, I'm not worried about dying. I know it's sad. It's probably a depressive state. Obviously, I don't want to die of cancer, a terrible death. But if I went out and got the thought, if I get run over, never mind. it's easy. No, I don't mean it like that. I just mean
I'm not,
from what Jackson's going through, I'm not scared of it. Because I'm watching Jackson go through it, and if he can do it, I can do it. He's strong.
But the fact that what you've done, what you've created out of something so horrific and so tragic is such, I don't have the words. I don't have the words to tell you how amazing that is, what you've done. If you'd imagine if you'd have just gone, fuck it, I'm just going to go and flung yourself under a bus, none of that would have happened.
I couldn't have done that because the crazy thing was I didn't want to leave my wife, this is what I was thinking, to having to deal with Jackson on her own. And that was it. And that's what, that's what's changed over the last few years. At first, I was like, I can't deal with this. My wife, I didn't want to leave her to deal with it on her own, just with Jackson so much. But then I thought to myself, as time comes past, we still see so many beautiful things in him. And that's the, you know, every yeah. day we see a love, we see something, we go, oh, you know, oh, we've done that again. And something that something that you're or my, like my fine, my daughter can do fine, but for Jackson, it's a massive occasion.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to dribble some phlegm out of his mouth without choking on it. I'm like, go on, my son. Go on, Jackson, you can do it. You can do it. And I'm silly about it as well. Go on, dribble it out, daddy, you'll catch it. Go on. You know, and it's...
It's
what keeps it going. You've got to be. If I'm miserable, everyone's miserable.
Yeah.
And that's why I have to keep going. I don't know what happens when I will turn off one day. Because maybe I'll go... stop going bald and stop. And actually, my memory has become so bad through stress that that I can watch TV and forget what I'm watching during the adverts.
Yeah,
that is.
I do that as well. I'll come away from a film, and someone will go, "What's it like?" And I'll go, "Yeah, it's good." And they go, "What happened in it?" I go, "I don't know. I just know that it's good. I kind of sum it up at the end. Go, is it good or is it bad?" And then that's all I've got.
I've just realised I've been talking too much. This is like a therapy session for me. This is. I go straight into this. I just let it all out.
Well, this is what it's all about, mate. This is this podcast, and I say this a lot. This podcast is all about the guest, and if it's not about me, it's all about you. And so whoever comes on, if they want to chat and chat away, that's completely fine. This is what this is for. Because I get to learn about that person as well. You know, I said this already. I learn something from every guest that comes on. So this is all about, it's all about me learning as well as the people listening and stuff like that. So, mate, you just chat away. This is all about the guest. Because sometimes I've said this before, I know, but I listen to podcasts and I'm like, shut the fuck up. Let them talk. Let the guest talk for a minute. You know,
I've been on one like that.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, fucking hell, man, come on. And what must be happening with you is that, because this is, of course it is, it's all encompassing. This is your complete life. And sometimes you just need an avenue to go and talk about it. You just need to go. That's what everyone needs to do. Just get to go somewhere and just get it all off your chest. Because it's all in your head, constantly. You know, you're juggling so many things. You know, mate, just chat away, mate.
It makes me think. I was listening to God. Who was it? I fell out of love with music when Jackson got ill, but then I started listening to a lot of TalkSport.
Yeah.
And I'm a Tottenham fan. I don't know who you
listen. I don't follow football, so you're fine.
Oh, good,
you're fine.
And there was something that came up on TalkSport, and I was driving down the M11 just within. I can't remember what it was, but when I phoned up to go on the show, it was talking about grief and stuff going through, and I thought I'd go on there, and they asked me to go on the show, and I'm driving, I've got my earpiece in, I can do hands free and all that, and I'm driving down the road, and they asked me to go on the show, and I just said, I can't do it. I was just going to break down. I bawled my eyes out, and I drove, and I worked for Essex Council. And when I looked up, I'm in Newmarket. I don't know how it happened. I thought, that's not right for a start.
That's quite a shut off. I mean, to go from Essex to fucking.
I didn't sleep. I must have just kept driving and thinking, I can't do this. I'm going on the radio. I can't do it. I've been on the radio before. I've been on done bits and bobs, you know. And it was just because they were talking about grief, talking about horrible stuff that have happened to people, and I was going to go on and talk about it. And I was obviously having a bad day as well. And, and just life in general gets on top of people. But at the end of that, I always think back, you get one go, you can change it. Like, I'm not a religious person.
No.
I won't ever knock a religion. But it's up to people. If it helps them, that's up to them.
Yeah.
But I see you get a start and a finish to life. Is it? You get a start and a finish, and on the way you get obstacles, you get shit thrown at you, you get some real bad shit thrown at you, like we have. And you need to make that life as nice as possible, so you've got to try and overcome these obstacles on the way. There's going to be shit that you're going to not be able to deal with, but that makes you the person you are, whether it's a happy, lovely person or a shitty person. You can get out of that sort of thing. You just got to be that person. Be a person, in fact, and just don't lock yourself up, because that won't help either. Locking yourself up, I've done that.
Yeah.
That won't. I ignore people. I didn't want to talk to people. I've probably harassed people as well.
Yeah, right.
So, but Yeah,
you're right, man. You are right with that. With that, I've said this on air a few times. I used to behave in a way that I just knew I wasn't that person. I was a bit of a prick. Mm.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and it was in relationships more often than not. I was normally fine outside, but I just knew I wasn't being who I should be or I could be. And it took a lot, you know, counselling and stuff like that. And then being brave as well to go, right, okay, I can be the person who you know you can be. Mm. And it took a lot of work. And now I feel I'm in that position where I go, yeah, I feel all right now. I'm actually pleased with myself. But it takes a lot. It's hard, isn't it? It is hard.
100%. But and I've obviously going further away a bit. Is like being a kid, you spend so much time, you could be brought up so well by your family, but then when you spend the next 5 years at senior school with someone that's not been brought up, you know, had some issues being brought up, and then they shape your son or your daughter. And I'm not saying that was what happened to me, but growing up, I had no issue. You know, I wasn't dragged up or anything, but I was always thought I was Jack the Lad, and I was never horrible, but I'd do silly stuff and end up in stupid trouble, do you know? And my mum said to me once, do you not want to be known as the nice bloke around here, or instead of the horrible bloke that people have to avoid?
Yeah.
And I thought, no, mum, I'd rather people said hello to me than avoid me, watch him, he's an idiot. No, I don't want to be known as that. And I think once you start, I mean, that was my early 20s, but once you start learning and understanding stuff, you know, there's no need for it, all, is there? There's no need. We can all just get on and be nice and be happy and plod along.
Well, you're dealing with insecurities back then, aren't you? You don't want to be seen as weak. You want to be seen as, I don't know. I went to an all-boys school, so it was all about being hard. Everyone had to be hard and all that shit. And, you know, and being hard and being cool. And you just become a bit of a cunt. Sorry.
I wish I could swear more. I like this podcast because I like to swear, but being a children's book author, I don't like to swear on some of it. I feel bad sometimes.
It's all changed now.
So I have to keep it under that. But I like the word. I like chucking it out there occasionally.
Yeah,
but,
use it, mate. But you're the Enid Blyton of Tilbury now. You can't be chucking C-bombs around.
Tilbury, I love that. That'd be good. Maybe soon.
Well, you're doing all right. You're doing all right, and it's obviously you've found a way to channel all this negativity, and it's a good thing to see, because like I say, most people would have crumbled, or they would have just, you know, they'd be lashing out because they're like, why the fuck have I got this?
And I wouldn't thing in for it though. You know, that's easy to crumble. You know, yeah. I've been lucky that I've had a lot of support from many people. Many people that I wouldn't even realise that would support me, and many people that I didn't even know that would support me. You know, I mean, like the people out of the woodwork, or people that I hadn't seen for 15 years, or I went to school with, you know, turning up and doing stuff for Jackson and putting on nights for Jackson so we can take them Disney and stuff like that. And
amazing.
Not putting no pressure on my life as a father trying out to go into work, but still only having, you know, when your son's been told you've got a year to live, do I really want to go to work? Like, I want to spend the year with my son, you know? And we had, so even down to the local people, and I think I mentioned like Russell Brand, it was a chance meeting, even though he's from Grays and he knows a few people that we know. My brother's brother-in-law went to school with him, were good mates.
Yeah.
And obviously I mentioned that when I met him, and he was like, I just want to help Jackson. And I was like, whoa. Okay, mate. And he said, get a bed. Oh, he phones me up and he says, what do you want to do? I said, can I just have some signed stuff for auction so I can get some money to take Jackson to Disney? He went, I'll do your gig. I was like, what? He went, I'll do your gig. Get a venue and I'll do a gig for you. I was like, wow, shit, that's mad. So we got the Civic Hall in Grays because it's down the road from
where I know that. Yeah, up. I've done that one, yeah.
Oh, have you? Yeah. It's not a bad venue. It's all
right. Lovely one.
And we got that and he raised shitloads for Jackson, and he's still supporting there, you know, and he's don't have to be. He just thinks,
that's cool.
What a decent bloke. And it's not just him, there's loads of it. We've got Faye Barker from the news. She offered to do Jackson's audiobooks. I mean, people will just come out the woodwork, you know, this is lovely. It's really nice.
See, that's it's beautiful, isn't it? Of course, you'd change it. Like you said earlier, you'd swap places in a fucking heartbeat, but.
Yeah.
The fact that there's still a beautiful thing that's been created out of something so awful. Mm. It's lovely to see. It really, these things really do they seem to bring out the best in people. You know, it's a wonderful thing that, and you're so lucky to have it, and it's deserved. You're a nice. I've never met you, but I'm listening to you. You're a decent dude. You're a fucking.
I like to get on with people. Yeah, I'm always told my mates when we say there's no point going out with me because I end up talking to some other people down the road. You know, I'm a sociable person. Yeah. You know, I want to talk to people. I like the stories. You know,
were you like that before?
Yeah, I am always like that. But I wasn't for a good couple of years. I didn't want to be known. I was known. I felt in my head I was known locally as the bloke whose son's dying.
Right.
Do you know?
So that was all in your head. So.
Yeah. I would have thought. Yeah, you know, I walk in the shops, I feel people looking at me. I was that bloke whose son's dying. You know, and that's just obviously your brain going fucking overdrive.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But then what's come from it is, and I was saying it's not about me. I don't care whether people know me or not. I'm spreading the story about Jackson, his condition, and the books really, and about Jackson. But we was in Norfolk, because obviously we can't fly with him, and we was in Norfolk, and a lady comes up to me while we're sitting in this beer going, "Oh, hello Jackson, how are you doing? You know, oh, I've read all about you and seen all about you." I was like, "Whoa, that?" She knew. And even down to me vets, I walked in there and they're like, "You're Jackson's dad, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yep, that's Jackson." Yeah, and it's not about, they don't know my name and I'm not interested. It's Jackson that I'm wanting to get out there, you know?
Mm.
And that's amazing as well when that happens. So, you know, me and my wife, we don't go out that much because we can't always get babysitters, the thing that Jackson is. And we went out for a meal, before lockdown, and later the person came up to her table and went, "Oh, really nice, how's Jackson doing?" And I didn't have a clue who he was, and I just think, oh, that's really cool, isn't it? You know, that's getting a bit of, you know, everyone knows Jackson.
Yeah.
It's starting to get, you know, one of the books, my first book, Jackson's Saves an Owl, is used for English lessons in Malaysia.
Wow.
That's what I mean. I didn't even expect that.
That's incredible. So, what was the thinking? So Rebecca said to you, you were having a chat.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she said, "I wonder if he dreams."
Yeah, she just wondered I wonder what Jackson dreams of. I've always been a bit weird with dreams. I used to have a book that you could decipher your dreams. You know, have a look, see what you dreamt about, and then you look at a book and see what it means.
Obviously, yeah, right.
And nothing come true from it. But I always used to think, "Oh, I hope he dreams because because he don't lead a really good life in the day."
Yeah.
I think Becca said to me, "I don't know. I wonder what he dreams of." And she went, "Oh, I don't know." I think she asked me. I can't remember now. That's how bad my memory is. And I just said, "Oh, well, let's make his dreams up for him." And so I just started writing these books about. It all started off. The first line was, "Jackson's a boy with special powers, but he doesn't show them off in daylight hours. When it is dark, his eyes awake, dreaming of adventurous journeys he'll take." And then it's always his eyes start to close, and then in the book, obviously, he's dreaming, but he doesn't realise he's dreaming when he comes out of it. He thinks it's all part of him just being put into bed, and that's what happens, you know? And it's not that he's dreamt it all up. He has actually been on these adventures. So,
And you just started writing it. You didn't think, these will get published one day. Literally just doing it.
No, I've got a good mate. Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to... I started doing them and I've wrote loads of them and just put them all together and stuck them together and started reading to them. The smiles I used to get out of them were amazing. And I got this good friend of mine, Carl, who's a good artist, and I said to him, "Just, you know, can you make this one into a book? And so I can just staple it together at least, so instead of dropping paper everywhere, you know, and having some illustrations for him," because his eyesight was a lot better back then. And he sent me the illustrations, he's done the book, and we... put it together and I thought, you know what, I sent off to about six publishers and I got two come back.
Brilliant.
And which are very small publishers, and we went with one in Denmark. They produced two of the books. COVID has actually ruined the publishers at the moment. So we've lost them. At first I was really gutted and I thought, well, where am I going to go from here and how am I going to keep this going for Jackson? And in the end it turned out we've got such a good following that I'm just going to self-publish them. We got some interest from a publisher in America, which is looking into it. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to play. It's not about money. It's about if people want to donate to Jackson, which is obviously we need the money. Money's not important to me. If I won the lottery now, it's not important because it's never going to change Jackson. But every so often, something comes up and we need it on the quick. and we haven't got that sort of money. So with these books, there's a nice little bit of money coming in, so when we need something, we can get it for Jackson.
Yeah.
And it may be in years to come when, you know, when the priority is different. But at the moment, it's all Jackson related. And when it's Jackson's no longer here, and maybe then, you know, someone wants to buy the idea, maybe, crack on, you know. But at the moment, it's very important to me. It's not the money, it's getting it out there. It's the story, getting it out there. You know, I'd give the books away if I could afford it.
Yeah, right.
But I can't.
No, mate. Well, listen, you should, That's so there isn't a cure for Krabbe.
No, there's stem cells. So if you know your child's going to have Krabbe before they're born, say there's some family history of it, or they do this thing called amniocentesis, which is a syringe, like a big needle into the baby while it's still in the womb.
Oh, wow.
But pretty much into the I'm not very good with this stuff. I did look into it a few years ago, but my memory's been rubbish. And they take it, and that's how they found out that other baby would have had that. They take a cell out of that area. And so there's no cure unless you know about it, and you can have stem cells before the onset of any symptoms.
Right.
So, but as soon as symptoms show, that's really already passed.
Yeah, and that's it. And you wouldn't have known to look for it.
No, because we didn't know. No, exactly. So we didn't know until we were told. By that point, obviously things were happening, and that's why we knew. I mean, he started to sit up and then couldn't sit up again. So when we started to think it was a bit weird. But then you get this. There's so much stuff out there, like global development delay, and you start Googling, and you think you're never going to be the most bloody rarest one out there, are you? That's what you think. Right. You know, you just wouldn't think that.
But there's no signs when Rebecca was going in and having tests to make sure the baby was all right, and there's nothing. There's
perfect.
Just no signs. That blows my mind, man. That there's just literally nothing. In one day, it just happens, and oh man.
So, I mean, that's then from there onwards. You know, that's our whole life. That's basically one in four children of ours will have this condition.
Mm.
Then we get told that as well. So one in four children of ours would have that condition. You think, fuck.
Wow.
So Jackson's had it. That baby, we just, you know, had to do whatever we had to do with. He's got it. And then we think, fuck, we can't go through this. So we had to do a thing called PGD, pre-gene diagnosis. So you have to do your, it's like IVF. They put the egg and the cells together, and then they take a sample from each one that have turned into a blastocyst, like a 5-day. So the cells reproduce, so they become a healthy sort of thing, and they take a cell out, and then they work out how many ones got the condition. So it's quite amazing stuff. So that's how we had our daughter. So through that way, it's quite amazing stuff. But then for the likes of, lucky enough, we managed to get that funded because you got IVF funded. But if we had to pay for that again, you'd look at about 18 grand.
Bloody hell.
You know, just to have a child, and you think, God, what are they going to put me through? I have one child, and I fucking hate everyone now.
So with Krabbe, is it like one of you's got the gene, or is it when...
Both.
So that's what you were saying earlier, is like when the two of you come together and there's like a one in a billion chance of you two meeting each other.
So our... I can't remember how it's to believe. Me and you have got both... We've got a gene, two genes.
Mm.
And when you have sex with a partner... You have a kid, you pass on a gene from you and a gene from your partner. So I could pass on, so for example, if me and Becca had it off now, so I've got a good gene and a faulty gene. I could pass on the faulty gene and Becca could pass on the good gene and it'd be fine. And same, but vice versa, I could pass on the good gene and Becca faulty and it'd be fine. But if I pass on the faulty gene and Becca pass on the faulty gene, then the baby's going to end up like Jackson.
Right.
So it's one in four chance.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Oh,
God. But you two, like you say, you're able to talk about things with each other and...
Yeah. I think it helps. Yeah. It helps, definitely. I mean, you don't always want to talk about it, but once you've talked about it, it does help. You know, it does... definitely need to get things off.
Yeah.
You know, and definitely need to go through things. It's not always the nicest thing to talk about. But once it is done, it's done. And you can... move on to the next subject or move on to the next issue.
I think that's the thing with talking, but I talk about it all the time. I'm always like, you know, it's good to talk. You've got to get it out there. And sometimes it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to talk. It's not, you feel like
you don't want to.
You don't know how to. Yeah, but every time you make that, you start making that conversation. I don't know a time where I've gone, oh shit, I wish Nan had done that. I always feel better after I've done it. But even if sometimes I don't know how to, not in the mood, or it's taken me a while to get to that point or whatever, but once I've opened up and gone, actually, I am feeling a bit shit today and this is why, I always feel better. And that, so yeah, it must be the same for you when you can talk, you know, you can, yeah, it's a funny one.
I've always been that person that, do you know, if there's a problem, face it. Do you know, I like, you know, like with COVID-19, like, as soon as it come out, we have to protect Jackson every day from normal colds. They can put him in hospital. So every day is normal. This, having COVID just seems to be normal for us. But for me, I was thinking, right, oh God, shit, this could put me out, which means I can't care for Jackson. I just want it. Just get over and done with. Just get it done. You know, like, I just want to get it. I just want to get over and done with it. But I don't want to bring it home to him. So I'm in a little bit. So if I, and I even said, it sounds really stupid now, I think of it. I said, well, if someone said, well, if you end up in intubated and, you know, in trouble, I'll come out of it and I will, you know, and I'll crack on with looking after Jackson. But I suppose I'm so narrow-minded, so one-minded of my priority is looking after Jackson. Simple as that. Yeah, you know? I suppose why he's healthy, if I get it now, then I can be, I don't know, maybe it's just, I'm not very good at waiting for things, you know, if I'm going to get in trouble, I'd rather get it over and done with. Do you know?
Yeah,
if I know it's coming, I might as well get it done with.
Ah, mate, I hadn't thought about that, of course. This adds a whole new fucking dimension to the whole thing. So you and your missus and your daughter must be just over the top with making sure you don't catch it or you've, you know.
Well, you say that, at first we really was.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't go out for 12 weeks or whatever, and my daughter, which made us realise that summer's probably the best time to go out, but she started saying that her best friend was the trampoline, and that really upset me, it's as much as we're protecting Jackson, it's also affecting my daughter.
Yes.
So we've got to find a balance here, and we know that, and I know for a fact that a common cold, which can put Jackson in a real bad state, you know, it could. So this virus, if it, you know, in a selfish way, if it's not going to harm my daughter, fingers crossed, or me or my wife, then Jackson's the only one that can. But a cold can harm him. So we just need to crack on as normal and just try and get my. You know, we're not going to obviously go into an old people's home with COVID or anything like that. No. So we're not going to do nothing silly. But we need to send my daughter to nursery because she's suffering. You can see she's.
Yeah.
It's affecting her. We're saving Jackson, but we're affecting our daughter. You know, we've got to try and find a balance. So we're trying to do half nursery, half at home. She's got to go to school next year. It's going to blow her mind if she's never been nursery.
Oh, yeah, so, of course. Yeah, well, that's it. We are sociable animals, aren't we, human beings? We need each other. We do need that contact. I did find that in the lockdown. Even though I was lucky enough to be with Jade and our mate, Paul Sweeney, he still craved the contact of other people or being somewhere different with other people. You know what I mean? You just need, you need a change.
We are social, and that is, we are. When we get the amp, we ring someone. When we want to do something, we talk to people. It's amazing what your brain loses when you don't use it. Just your social reaction, be able to talk to people. You know, just putting together a decent conversation. If you haven't spoken to someone for 4 weeks, it is shit.
Oh, God.
I even forgot, and this is, people are going to think, it's from Tilbury, it's obviously thick, he can't add up. I sat there, I never went to work because I was protecting Jackson, I was working from home, and I forgot how to add up. We was getting Tesco deliveries because we couldn't go shopping, and I was getting it for my mum as well, because my dad's a little bit, sort of, should be isolating him a little bit, really. And so I was getting the food for him as well, and I was working out how much I owed us, and I couldn't even remember how to add up. What'd you do with the one, Beck?
Do you know what? I think I've had a bit of that. I was trying to work out something the other day, and I went, How many's that? What's 7 9s? 7 9s. I was there for ages. Oh, man.
If you don't use it, you lose it. Simple as that,
it's so true. Yeah, man. Oh, God. So what's happening next? Are you working on another book now?
Yeah. So me, it's literally just coming ready for print. So it's Jackson Saves the Moon, all part of the Jackson Superhero.
Yep. So you've got Jackson Saves an Hour as the first one.
Yeah, Jackson's solution to pollution.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
I thought I'd put something out there just to try and get kids to enjoy, and just to enjoy, you know, the world and look after it, really.
Yeah.
And first of all, we should look after the world because it's the place we live in. It's simple as that. And I just thought it was a simple message to help you just put stuff in the bin. It always sticks with me because when I was a kid, I threw something in the bin and this bloke threw something on the floor and this bloke picked it up and made me feel so bad. You know, that taught me a really big lesson. You know, why should other people pick up my rubbish?
I had a similar thing. Yeah, you're right.
Jackson's solution to pollution, and then the new one's out pretty soon. It's called Jackson Saves the Moon, and this is a little story that I've come up with, and it's about the moon's the world's biggest torch, and it's powered by fun. And when it looks down at the Earth, it can see not many people having fun, so it's not shining so much. So the more people have fun, the more people that have lots of fun, they can the moon becomes brighter. So I'm just trying to get kids to realise that when they look out the window, if they're stuck indoors, they can't get out. But if you look out the window and the moon's not as bright as you want it, have a bit of fun. You know, it'll get brighter. And, you know, and it'll power. So there's a little funny bit in it. So it's the moon's big... I'm the world's biggest torch on power by fun. If we all laugh together, we might outshine the sun. And the sun's like, no chance. So obviously, I'm just trying to get kids to laugh. Yeah, if we can outshine the sun. You know, and there's a bit on the... There's some Martians in it, and they all help out Jackson and stuff, and they all help out the moon. But the last bit in it is... So you look out the window, and there's... I can't remember the words now. I've been working on it so much, it's actually numbed my brain. But, it's just a nice little rhyming story with some nice little messages in, and it's just about trying to get kids to enjoy themselves. Even if they're stuck in, look out the window because there's lots of stuff happening outside, and it's not all that bad, really. You know, it's quite a nice world if you just get out of the way of horrible people.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we're losing... I think because there's too much information now, I think a lot of children losing their innocence a bit too young.
I keep saying it 100%, but I was in hospital with Jackson in Basin Hospital, and the amazing thing, they've got a Jackson superhero wall in the hospital, which is pretty cool whenever we go in there. And I was talking to one of the nurses in there, and she said that she looked after children that were suffering from stress, and that blew me away a bit. And I was why should children have stress? Well, because they want to be as good as their friends, their parents are pushing them. Mm. And this is another thing why I do the stories. Kids should be kids. I mean, from the minute you're 16, you've got to grow up.
Yeah.
And there's no looking back. You can't, as soon as you act like a twat, how old are you supposed to be? How old are you supposed to be? You know, you're 20 years old. Act, you know, it's, but while you're growing up, you're still a kid. Be a kid. Be the biggest kid you want to be, because as soon as you get to 16, that's it. That's it. Your kid life's over.
Yeah.
And I love being a kid. I love being an idiot. I love being stupid. But what I've learned there is to be an idiot and be stupid, but don't bring no one down with you. Like, as in, don't upset anyone.
Yeah.
And don't be... Why should someone else suffer because you want to have a laugh?
That's
what I look at now, and I just think I can still have a laugh, but I just don't knock people while I'm having a laugh.
Yeah, they call it punching down. Don't punch down.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's what they do in comedy. I say, don't be punching down. I remember. I was thinking about this a little while ago. I was like, I used to love the world when I believed in magic. It was a beautiful thing. Like, you believed that these people made things disappear, and Father Christmas was a thing, and it was... I do miss that. I do remember lying in bed thinking I can hear the sleigh bells on Christmas Eve, and it's like I was in such a rush to grow up that
everyone was, because it's as soon as I get to 16, I can buy a cigarette. As soon as I get to 18, I can go to the pub. It's always wishing, as soon as I get to leave school, I can earn my own money. Because you're always told, when you earn your own money, you can do what you like.
That's
it. You know?
Yeah.
So before you even, when you get to 11, you want to be 15, 16, so you can earn your own money.
Yeah.
It's so fast-tracked, I think.
Yeah. Go on.
But then, that's just me, though. That's just how I, you know, with things and how my life has panned out with the kids and everything, is just be nice and just have fun. Really, that is, and things will piss you off. Don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I want to, I want to kill people. I want to kill myself. No. But you just have bad days, don't you? Everyone has bad days. The bad days aren't that bad considering what other people are going
through. And it's recognizing. Because I know I find it better now to be able to turn around and go, listen, that was me. I was being a bit of a dick then, and I think I was a bit of a dick because of blah 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 whatever. And most people go, you know what? Yeah, it's all right. We all go through it sometimes. Most people will accept the apology. You know, it's having the balls to turn around and go, yeah, that was all me.
I'm quite happy to apologise when. But yeah, you are right. There's no way I can tell people how to live life through their grief because I'm only dealing with my side of things. How it works for me, we're all balanced differently, aren't we? And I can just, this just seems to work for me. But I can have weeks of miserable days. I put a face on and going to work. Hello, how you doing? Blah blah. And just put this family face on. Yeah, I'm fine. And then when I'm on my own, I just think, I'm tired now before I even go to bed. I know I'm going to wake up tired. When you dread going to bed because you know you're just going to wake up as tired as you are before you go to bed, that's when I get like that, I know that's a bad time. But again, we was in touch with another family and it don't help us, but it just shows us life is shit. People and we're not in the worst case scenario. But we had a family that we knew that had twins with Crohn's disease.
Oh wow!
Both their kids. Yeah. So I'm not saying it helped us, but sometimes you think world's against you, and it's not. It's just
the cards you've been dealt, and you have to deal with it as best you can. Oh mate, well I'm glad you've got this. I'm not glad, but in the great scheme of things, I'm glad that you've got a support network. There's other people that you can talk to that are in a similar situation. And have you got any, is there any advice or is there any, if anyone's going through a similar thing, is there any like numbers and or whatever? I don't really know what to say really.
I'm in touch with Crohn's disease. Which is very rare if you're listening to this and your child's got Crohn's disease, but there is a Crabby Foundation that you can get in touch with, which we're in touch with. And probably get one call a year.
Is that rare?
Yeah, it's really rare. We're in touch with them. I do a little bit with a thingy coming from Chelmsford called Mates. It's mental. Oh, do you know what? My memory's so bad, I don't even know what it stands for. But Mental Health Awareness Through Educational Speaking, I think.
Yeah.
It stands for. But it's just a group of people that all get online. If anything shit dealing with them on that day, they just get on there and talk. And it's a nice little forum, it's on Facebook, and you just have to be a member of the group, and you'll just sit there and chat and
brilliant.
Go through you, and you just get together. But it's not even. Sometimes I get more help in myself by helping others, and it sounds crazy, but you think, oh fuck, I've done that today. Then you look on your own life and think, shit, maybe I should have done it. Yeah, instead of helping, I don't want to not help other people, but then you think, should I be tidying up at home instead of tidying other people's life? Balance as well, because if you concentrate too much on the home, then you're gonna damage yourself, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I get a real buzz out of helping someone else. I said this in couples counselling the other week. When I just said, I was telling the counsellor, I said, I get a buzz out of helping someone else. And she went, right. And then I went, yeah, but I suppose then I'm just distracting myself from my own problems. So you got to find that balance, haven't you? But I didn't know that Mates thing existed. That's cool. We'll mention all this in the links and that. And the books, where are the books available?
Oh, so they're on Amazon, Waterstone, WH Smith's, and I think Morrison's are going to put them in their store soon as well.
Amazing.
Which is pretty cool. I'm a little bit blown away that you've got me on your podcast. Be fair,
I was desperate.
I've just started getting into podcasts the last couple of months. The last probably 6-8 months, something like that. And I've been having a little flicker on them. And I was listening to your one the other day with Rob Beckett on. But when you've got someone like Rob Beckett and then me on, I think shit, is this a bit out of my league?
This is the thing. We have people say to me all the time, "Oh, you want to get." you need to get more listeners in, so you need to get names. But I'm like, but this podcast isn't about that. It's about having people on with an interesting story, because someone will hear you and they'll get something from that. And that's the point of it. That's why, yes, this is a mental health podcast in that respect, where people will hear your story and they'll feel inspired by it, or they'll feel something, you know, that,
yeah.
and hearing about Jackson will then help someone else in the future that,
hope so, yeah.
You know, unfortunately gets, you know, has a dealing with Krabbe. And that's what this is all about. So it's not really about fame and stars and that. It's about people with a story to tell that then someone else can get something from. So having you on, Darren, was perfect, mate. I really wanted you on. You've been on, and it's been fucking great, man. Honestly.
Oh, thanks, Rich.
You've absolutely nailed this. And if there's anything that I can do, I don't know what, but just let me know, and I'll happily do it, mate.
There is one thing that you might be able to help me with.
Go on,
I don't
I'm not coming around tidying your house.
Yeah, my missus back. Yeah, it's tidy anyway. I've got two blurbs for my new book, or two reviews. One from Russell Brand, one from Claire Friedman. Is there anyone you know, or would you like to be on the back?
Mate, I'm sure I can find someone for you. Someone, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd do it myself, but I'm no one. But
no, but if you could have a more the merrier, I say, you and someone else, if you could find someone that could
happily
jump on there. I've got a few days left before it has to be finalised, so I haven't got long. I've been trying to get Harry Kane. Jackson met Harry Kane a few months ago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think. And I'll just message his agent to see if he can get in. But no, the more the merrier, the more I can get as many as I like on the back. Really. I was just hoping for three or four, but I've got two at the moment.
Leave it with me. I'll sort that out for you. Yeah, no problem at all.
And funny enough, you know, Four Songs of a Dream, Sean Panda Nicholson.
Yeah.
He done the audiobook for me. This is the crazy thing, right?
What?
Yeah, this is the crazy thing. I'm not very good at social media, and I decided to message the next three people that come up on my list of people that I may know. Just a little bit about Jackson and say, would they share it on Twitter?
Yeah.
And one of them was Sean Panda Nicholson. I didn't even know who he was. I just thought, I'll just message him. He asked me to go on his podcast. You went on his podcast.
Yeah.
And then it come up as, you know me, I know you. And I was thinking, and then I thought, you know what, I'll message you. And then that's how it's come from here. But then Sean said to me, if there's anything I can help you with, can you ask, like exactly what you said? And I thought, his accent is magnificent.
He's got a great voice.
And I remember watching a kiddie's book on CBeebies, and it was done by James McAvoy.
Yeah.
And what a voice. He'd done the book so brilliant. And he's done the audio book for us.
That is amazing.
So, it's really, really good. And I can send it to you if you want to send it to your pals, if you know someone that might want to be able to do, because the audiobook's pretty cool as well.
I've got a couple of names in my head already. I'll tell you after.
Excellent.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Sean Panda Nicholson, he's so supportive and amazing.
Just a nice guy.
Just a lovely dude. And Sean, if you're listening to this, we love you. You're a fucking legend,
100%. What a lovely bloke. I don't think I've had anyone that I don't know, especially from the Isle of Skye. I knew one bloke from the Isle of Skye, and he used to live next door to me, Nan, and he was miserable. But Sean, you just changed that. You've just changed that for the Isle of Skye.
Exactly. And when he said where he lived, I'm like, what? Oh, okay, cool. Darren, this has been amazing, mate. Thank you so much for coming on. You don't say good luck. I don't know what to say. I just wish you all the best. I'm sorry about everything that's going on, but you know you're handling it, and that's commendable and beautiful. And all my love to you and your lovely family, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks. Lovely. And honestly, I'm sure. So I don't class myself as superhero. Jackson's a superhero. I'm just sure every parent would do the same that I'm doing. You know, I just want to look after my boy, and that is, and make everyone know who he is. You know.
I think that's beautiful. Yeah, and I think, mate, there's no one's ever going to forget him. That's wonderful. Darren, thank you, mate.
Thanks for having us on, Rich. Really
lovely. Thanks, mate.
Produced by Paul Daniels at pauldaniels.tv. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.